Hello, and welcome to episode 137 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We're here today with Dr. Derian Pollard, president of Montgomery College, former president of Las Positas College. She serves on the board of directors at the American Association of Community Colleges and is the former vice president of educational affairs at College of Lake County. She's a former English faculty member. Derian, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Delighted to be here. Thank you, Jordan.
Excellent. The first thing I'd like to ask you is, what are you currently doing or what have you ever done to advance the public interest and why?
I think my presence and work at a community college almost is the epitome answer to that. Mm-hmm. My job is to ensure that as a higher educational institution, we provide access to higher education for every sector of our community. Sectors that would traditionally attend four-year institutions, sectors that may have only access to higher education through a community college, but also to plant consciousness in our community about the work we do and the students that we serve.
So it sounds like affordability is often something in the community that is associated with community colleges. Is that actually something that is a reality for the students at community college? And are you trying to promote this college as a means of access for higher education for those who might have difficulty affording other institutions?
Sure. Poverty is the number one barrier for students to go to college. The reality is that many Americans don't have access to higher education because their family cannot afford to send them to that. Community colleges were founded with that very idea that we provide low-cost, high-quality education in a person's community, so they would not have to go away to school, that they could stay local, and that we would also have institutions that had robust support services to enable and support those students as they come through our institution. So affordability is certainly the thing that community colleges are known for. In fact, about half of all undergraduates in the state of Maryland attend a community college. So if a person does 2 years at a community college and earns their associate degree, we know their lifetime earnings increases about $600,000 over the course of their life. If they complete that baccalaureate degree, we're talking about $1 million over the course of their life. So we know for a fact that we're the stepping stone and the entree point for so many Americans who don't have access directly to higher education, the traditional model.
So you said half of all Maryland students who go on to college begin in community college?
Yes, there's 16 community colleges in the state of Maryland. We have a highly coordinated system where we actually spend each time every month talking about the work we do together. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, we're responsive to the local communities that we serve. So if you look at Montgomery County, Maryland, we know about 25% of the graduating classes of MCPS, our public school system, comes to Montgomery College. That number jumps to 60% when we talk about the numbers of folks who actually stay in Maryland for their undergraduate experience. They may bounce back in the summer. They may start here and go someplace else. They may go someplace else and bounce back to Montgomery College. So we take great pride in meeting people where they are.
And so you organize, you coordinate with the K through 12 public school system, where it sounds like a great feeder source of students for your school. And then you also coordinate with the universities at Shady Grove and some other universities in the area, Montgomery County. Can you talk a little bit more about the collaboration that you have between those feeder schools and also, I guess, I don't know if they're competitors or the other schools in this area?
You've done your homework, Jordan. I think that there is certainly a very tight coupling between Montgomery College and MCPS, which are our public school system, and that of our university system, USG partner. Mm-hmm. We do a very good job at looking at how we can collaborate and support students from the moment they are in high school. Sometimes even earlier, we have a wonderful kindergarten program where we reach out to kindergartners and plant this idea of college consciousness with them. But we work to align curriculum. We know for a fact that if a student goes through a curriculum that prepares them for college, they are better situated when they come to us. So how do we make sure that the high school faculty understand what it means to go to college? One of the biggest misnomers that we've had as a part of our national narrative is that high school diploma equals college ready. Mm-hmm. The reality about that is no longer the case. So our job is to figure out how do we help that narrative become a dominant one again. So we spend a lot of time looking at curriculum, looking at assessment measures, looking at support services. A student is leaving a high school environment where there are certain support services. How can we have them at our institution as well? And we do that conversely with the universities of Shady Grove, that whole continuum or pipeline.
So since this is Montgomery College, Is your goal to have Montgomery County Public Schools produce 12th graders who are graduates of those public schools who are college ready, or is your goal to have them enroll in Montgomery College and when they finish be college ready to pursue continue their education in a four-year degree?
So I think a third option is what we're trying to do. I think that we certainly want to meet any student where they are. Mm-hmm. We recognize that many students will graduate from high school college ready and we'll be here and support them. There are going to be many students who graduate from high school who are not college ready. Mm-hmm. So we want to meet them where they are as well. So this idea that regardless if you are the high school dropout, if you are the honor student, if you are the returning veteran and the working reservist, if you are the stay-at-home mom or the working dad, whoever you are, our job is to meet you where you are without any judgment, without any pretense that you can't achieve your goals. Our job is to be there. And I think that's what makes us a distinctly American form of higher education.
So in America, conceptually, many Americans think of college in terms of a liberal arts framework. I'm going to take some English, some history, some math. I'm going to learn a whole bunch of stuff just like I did in high school. Of course, there is vocational training that's available in Montgomery College, and even in MCPS, there are vocational programs in a specialty high school in Mid-County. So to what extent are your students vocationally ready, and how does that play into being college ready? What's the difference between being college ready and presuming that there's a liberal arts track versus being college ready and presuming I'm going to become a plumber or a nurse?
Yeah, we're actually using this language now at our college about being K to J, kindergarten to jobs. So if your job, if you want to become an engineer, we have a pathway for you to engineering. If you want to become a nurse, we have a pathway to that. If you want to become an HVAC person, we have a pathway to that. Our job is to meet you where you are. And I love the point that you just made, because one of the fallacies that we have in our country is that a college education is a four-year baccalaureate degree. The reality is that at a community college, we offer short-term certificates. We offer that are less than 30 credit hours. We offer long-term certificates. We offer an associate's degree. So our job, clearly cut, is to meet the students where they are and prepare them for where they want to go. If they want to be an engineer, they will need to get their associate's degree in engineering from Montgomery College, transfer to the four-year institution of their choice, and get that baccalaureate degree. If you want to become a nurse, where 60% of nurses in this country, ADA nurses, are educated at a community college, come to us, get that program of study completed, and then move into the workforce. So we have one of my deans here who often says, she said, you know, you got to have a job to get the tofu. And I love that idea, is that you got to be able to work. You can have all these esoteric ideas about what it means to be educated and have furniture of the mind and all those great ideas. But what you have to do at the end of the day is to support yourself and have a sustainable income. So you got to have a job if you want to buy the tofu.
It sounds like one of the major goals of Montgomery College is to prepare students to be productive members of today's economy or tomorrow's economy. Yet a significant proportion, or maybe I'm incorrect, correct me if I'm wrong, a proportion of your student body is actually not a full-time student, but are part-time students who do hold jobs in the economy today. So if the goal of the college is to become a productive member of the economy, yet some of your students are concurrently productive members of the economy and students, can you speak a little bit about the role of part-time students who are currently holding jobs in society while pursuing higher education?
That's great, because the majority of our students are clearly part-time students because they are working adults who have complex lives. And the reality about that is that in order to live in Montgomery County, a family of four needs to make about $106,000 a year not to qualify for any support from the county. Mm-hmm. So if you think about that, for us as a community college, we know that we're going to be a first place of educational hope for a lot of folks who's doing exactly what you said. I'm at this entry-level work in this industry. Mm-hmm. I want to have a career ladder. I want to be the CEO. Mm-hmm. You don't get to be the CEO overnight. You're going to have to get some education. Mm-hmm. You have to get some experience. You have to demonstrate your ability to stick through it. So we'll have students who will complete an associate's degree in 2 years. That's a typical path. More likely, though, a student is going to take 4 to 5 years to complete an associate's degree because they're doing exactly what you said. The other thing that I think is really important for us to think about, too, is that our students have very complex lives. They're parenting, they're caring for seniors and their family, they're working not one, not two, but 3 or 4 jobs. They're trying to balance the complexities of life. So our job is to really, again, and I'm going to say this over, meet them where they are, mm-hmm. And step and really deconstruct this master narrative that we have in our society that the traditional college student is 18 to 22 years old. They have a pathway of going for 4 years to a state college away from home. That is no longer the model of which most undergraduates in this country attend. So let's actually look at a reality check about that.
So, Darian, on the topic of career pathways, I'd like to transition to yours. Mm. So you're from the Midwest. You ended up getting a PhD in education, became a teacher, an English and mm-hmm. Faculty member, and then you've moved up through educational administration to your current position as president of Montgomery College. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you envisioned decades ago when you yourself were a college student? What is it that led to you having such a passion for improving affordability of high and access to a high-quality education for everyone in society?
Because college changed my life. That at the end of the day, I went to college and never left. I was this little brown girl from the south side of Chicago, the first in my family to go away to school and to really be able to think about a white-collar job. That was something that was an aspirational intent for me. So this idea of moving into a college environment and changing the trajectory of not only my experience but that of my family mm-hmm. has been significant. My grandfather died at 98 years old but had been the male version of the help if you read the book or saw the movie. He worked for a white family in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Probably had an 8th grade graduation, depending on when you caught him. It was probably 6, but he would say 8. He worked for this family. He helped them. He took care of their children for years, did daycare, lawn, driving, whatever the case may be. And I look at my father, who's this brilliant, wonderful man who raised me after my mother died and is able to complete a Vietnam veteran, completed high school. I found out lately he's been taking community college classes. But the reality about that is that his daughters, my sister and I, are solidly middle to upper class. We have the ability to navigate the world in a different place. Mm-hmm. So my son, mm-hmm. who is now 10 years old, mm-hmm. 2 generations later, has a very different reality than that of his great-grandfather or his grandfather. Hmm. That, to me, is why I do this work. I see it every day. I talk to these kids when I'm walking down the hallway, these adults who are trying to change their lives. It's because the only thing I know in this country that can help you move through from one economic level to another is education. You can play the lottery, but I can guarantee you the outcomes are much more significant and impactful here. People can take your good name away from you. Mm-hmm. They can take your house, your job, because many of my folks have lost jobs. But what they can't take away from you is your education, and that's what we do here.
So it sounds like socioeconomic mobility is really one of the motivating factors for you to have pursued higher education and made a career for yourself. Although, you know, an individual who graduates college has many different career opportunities, but that wasn't enough for you. You went on and got a master's degree, and then that obviously should have led to many different career opportunities for you, but again, not enough. You chose to pursue a PhD. Mm-hmm. So perhaps higher education, your motivation wasn't solely socioeconomic advancement, but you have a real passion for education itself, not only as a means to the end of improving one's lives, but as a means of what? Why? What's the source of your personal passion for pedagogy, for really learning how get at the to a terminal degree, mm-hmm. a PhD, and then how is and then of course you were there. You were an English teacher. You had your students. Why move on?
You know, for me, I've always been one who's been very interested, obviously, in the relationship with individual students. So I love teaching. I still teach typically
you
one
currently
class.
Teach.
I do one class or seminar a semester because I need that interaction to constantly remind me about what we do and why we
Grounds
do it.
Grounds you.
Oh, my gosh. Especially when I have these lofty ideas about changing the world. Mm-hmm. And they remind you, yeah, but you know what? You know, I had this student who talks to me about growing up in the foster care system and is wondering how she's going to make it from day to day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So their experiences remind me and ground me in the work. But for me, you know, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And I will tell you that I grew up in a family that went to church every Sunday. Matter of fact, I stayed in church all week long. Mm-hmm. My social networks were there. My friend relationships, everything was there. I went to college on a partial scholarship from my church because they wanted to invest in me as a young woman to help me actualize my dreams. There's a part of me that really believes that the college is almost the church of the community now. And there's at one point I had a minor in religious studies. I used to spend a lot of time thinking about going into the ministry. Hmm. And really, in a lot of ways, high school and college prepared me with this idea that education really is a social justice issue. And I know so many people who went to public education where I grew up in whose options seemed very limited. But I know for a fact that their lives are different because of the fact they were able to secure education. But when I look at what a college can do in a community, mm-hmm. we can connect people through partnerships and things that they never thought possible. Hmm. We spend time deliberately as an organization thinking about how to engage the community, new immigrants who come into our community. One of the first places they find themselves at is at Montgomery College. Returning veterans, they're thinking about changing their life after served their country. They come to Montgomery College. Students who are right out of high school, somebody who's working. We have people who have advanced degrees who are trying to make sure that they stay relevant. We're mm-hmm. becoming the new finishing school for the bachelor degree. So there's a lot of things for me that this is my own little ministry in a lot of ways.
So you mentioned that there are 16 community colleges in the state of Maryland. Mm-hmm. What's special about Montgomery College? Mm-hmm.
I think Montgomery College is special probably for four very distinct reasons. Our work in community engagement is unparalleled. Mm-hmm. We have been very distinctive, particularly of late, thinking about how we go out into the highways and byways and for the next 70 years go to communities that have not found their way to our institution. I think we're exceptional at that. Secondly, I think that we have named and are owning the achievement gap in higher education. People think about the achievement gap and think it's just a K-12 reality. We still have a disproportionate success levels as it relates to black and brown students than we do white and Asian students. And here we are at the college are addressing that. We're being innovative. We're making errors and we're learning from it. That to me makes us very distinctive compared to a lot of our peers, how we're doing it, and unfiltered attention on this issue. Third, I think that what makes us distinctive is that we're very much committed to thinking about innovation. We have some things happening here that I don't know that are happening across the country.
Example
of that. We are we partnered with a large, I won't say their name because they have some really global influence, but they're a global company that came to us and said, hey, we're looking at our talent pipeline, mm-hmm. and we're going to go out and hire all these folks who have baccalaureate degrees in engineering from all these different colleges across the country, Ivy League and other, mm-hmm. bring them here, and what we want you all to do is to train them. We want you to put them in a boot camp, and we want you to train them so they can actually unlearn what they've learned at these Ivy League institutions mm-hmm. and be reintroduced to how you actually do this work in a real work environment. That to me is unheard of because a business recognized the value that we have, the currency, the relevancy, and said, hey, you come in and help us figure this out. That to me is innovation at a whole different level. We have our faculty and staff who are unparalleled in their professionalism and the knowledge that they have mm-hmm. and their continued effort to be high quality. That to me is very distinctive. The last thing that I will say that makes us as an institution very distinctive, which also speaks to innovation, is that we are challenging ourselves around our business practices. Hmm. We recognize that higher education is changing and the ecosystem in which we operate is changing. We're going to have to be very thoughtful about efficiency, effectiveness, looking at our support from the public and knowing that public dollars can only go so far. Mm-hmm. We can only ask our students to pay so much to stay affordable. Mm-hmm. So I think that we are, as an organization, asking ourselves the hard questions, but also coming up with, I think, some of the most definitive answers to those questions.
So some individuals may be listening to this episode and thinking, you know, well, I never really thought about community colleges before. I got admitted to College Park. Mm. And, you know, I'm thinking next September I'm going to be a freshman. And my mom and my dad both work. And it's expensive to live over there. You know, should I I'm already admitted, right? I know I'm academically adequate. I've been admitted to College Park. Should I consider going to community college, even though I can start off at a four-year degree right now? Should I consider spending my first 2 years here and then transferring to College Park?
So the first thing I would tell that student is, Jordan, you will find thousands of students just like you here at Montgomery College, many of them who've made Montgomery College their first choice because of that very reason. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity to come to state-of-the-art facilities, mm-hmm. having faculty members who are master or doctorally prepared, no teaching assistants. You have support services that will wrap around you in the classroom and outside of the classroom to help you be successful. Oh, and by the way, you can save yourself a whole heck of a lot of money to do that. That, to me, if they really are a smart student, mm-hmm. and they need to stay at home and want to stay at home and may not be ready to make that transition, this is the institution for you.
Now, the previous administration on a federal level had made it a priority to try to make community college available to every student. Clearly, there are many different budget challenges. We experienced a great recession. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you mentioned, public funding for Montgomery College subsidizes tuition for students from the state and from the county. Can you talk a little bit about how those different funding challenges combined with political objectives have created an environment, how has that affected the atmosphere here at Montgomery College?
I think as an institution, you know, community colleges typically have done well regardless of if Democrats or Republicans in office, because each of them emphasizes a different part of our mission. Republicans typically emphasize our workforce development. Mm-hmm. They talk a lot about the fact that we're a part of a jobs engine, so they emphasize that a lot. Democrats have typically emphasized a lot about our access mission, that we're here to provide access to many folks who may not be able to come. Mm-hmm. So what we do, if we're a smart organization, we figure out how to repackage what we do based on who's in the office. And that's a plain and simple fact. So a part of my job is to develop strategy around that. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to emphasize that in this administration, yes, community colleges are helping to produce the workforce of the future. We have programs that lead people directly into the workforce. Short-term and long-term, we have stackable credentials. Oh, and by the way, because this country is changing in its demography, mm-hmm. you would be well-suited to partner with us because we're the access point for many different populations. So to me, I think it's about merging those messages mm-hmm. that have traditionally been either-or. I think the other thing for us as institutions, be much more savvy. We're going to have to be very thoughtful about how we look at our effectiveness, outcomes, looking at our assessment measures, because those are the things that we're going to be able to have to say, this is how I know I do this, and this is how I know I do it well. And those are things that higher education has really started to move toward, probably not as fast as we should have, and I think at this particular point, we're embracing that work very directly.
So as we approach the end of this podcast, I'd like to ask you a final question.
All right.
I'd like to ask you to imagine that you are offering the commencement address at the next Montgomery College graduation ceremony. And in speaking to these students, you're going to cover a few topics. I'd like you to speak to these students about your motivations, why it is that their education is so important to you. And I'd like you to speak about your legacy, what you hope at the end of your career, when you get there, of public service, what do you hope to have achieved? And how do these students fit into that legacy? How does your vision of your impact in the world take into account these students and what they're going to be able to do? And then, you know, what do you hope they're going to achieve? Mm-hmm. So you can present this kind mm-hmm. of commencement address to your students, telling why it is you've done what you've done, what you hope to accomplish, and what their role is in your vision.
So the graduating class of 2017, you are the future of Montgomery County. You are the immigrant mother who is trying to find a place for yourself. You are the working reservist who's come to Montgomery County and is trying to figure out how you can turn those skills you developed in the service into a manageable career. We are here to support you. We believe deeply in you, not simply because of the fact that you are the future of this county and in many cases the president of this county. You are indeed a valuable part of this community. We know that education is the only thing that can help someone move from poverty into middle class and upper class as well. We also know for a fact, and this is unparalleled, that most people want to live in a well-educated community. Excuse me. They want to live in a community where people are better educated, because we know that there's less crime, less dependence on social support service, greater public health outcomes, greater voter engagement. So not only do we need you to be educated for your own social mobility, because education is both a personal good and a public good. We want to live in a community where people have had access to higher education and been successful as a result of that.
And that has been Dr. Derian Pollard, president of Montgomery College, former president of Las Positas College, serving currently on the board of directors of the American Association of Community Colleges, the former vice president of educational affairs at the College of Lake County, and a former English faculty member. And Derian speaks about a few primary principles pertaining to education, speaks about the importance of access, affordability, recognizing the increasing demographic and socioeconomic diversity that appeals to the community that arises around a community college, that communities increasingly are finding education as a means of socioeconomic advancement, and in light of growing higher education costs around the country, oftentimes the K to J mission, the kindergarten to jobs mission of community college, is increasingly attractive to an ever more expensive area to live in, and with the rising cost of higher education. Dr. Pollard is interested in making sure that we're meeting students where they are, whether they are they're college ready and they're ready to try to find an affordable way to get a 4-year bachelor's of arts degree, or whether they're currently in the workforce and balancing multiple other personal responsibilities and they're seeking vocational training to be able to advance themselves in their career. Dr. Pollard is interested in engaging the community, and she views education as a means of achieving social justice. In her words, college is the church of our community. It is a place that is not only a source of education, but it's a place where communities are built and they sustain not only the community of tomorrow, but also the economy of tomorrow. This is a training ground for tomorrow's society. Derian, I'd like you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was wonderful. Thank you, Jordan.
And this has been episode 137 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. I'll remind you to subscribe at publicinterestpodcast.com, listen on iTunes, your podcast app, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, Player FM, Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. Should you wish to leave a voicemail for Dr. Pollard, you're welcome to call 240-630-0380, and that voicemail will be emailed to her. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.